Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
This episode is sponsored by Schwann's.com. What are you having for dinner tonight? Good question. Schwann's Home Delivery has a solution for you. Stock up your freezer with high-quality frozen foods like premium meats and sides, delicious ready-made meals, ice cream, and more. No subscriptions, no memberships, just a friendly yellow truck that's been delivering food for almost 70 years. Listeners of this show get a special deal. Get 20% off your first order with code YUM20. Check out schwanns.com/yum for details.
People notice a healthy smile, but maybe you have tooth sensitivity, bleeding gums, or acid-weakened enamel. Sensodyne, Parodontax, and Pronamel are trusted specialty toothpastes created to help improve your oral health. For tooth sensitivity, choose Sensodyne. Bleeding gums, get Parodontax. For acid-weakened enamel, Pronamel is the toothpaste for you. Sensodyne, Parodontax, and Pronamel. Trusted specialty toothpastes to help bring home your healthy smile. Visit Ibotta to earn cash back.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Wrestling Sheet Radio, where we are going to be previewing the upcoming card for WrestleMania 35. I'm here, as always, usually, as always, with these types of things, with John Rocha, but not with us, as always, who is here today, and that is Christian Harloff. You guys have been asking for a while for me to bring Christian on the show, so I'm glad we could bring out the big guns for the biggest event of the year.
Well, I can finally talk to some people who like some wrestling. I'm ready to go, man. I've been waiting for it. John, when you're on the show, it's a pleasure, and then you come on to Collider Live, it's a pleasure to talk to you guys, but yeah, man, WrestleMania, it's right around the corner. And historic main event. So let's do it.
Yeah, for those of you who maybe aren't familiar with Christian, he hosts Collider Live here, and he also hosts Jedi Council. He hosts a bunch of things here at Collider, a big part of the Collider brand. And I'm very, very happy to have him here. He used to work for WWE, and he is a diehard. For those of you who maybe don't know who he was talking about, on Collider Live, he tries to inject as much wrestling conversation as possible, and gets shut down hard. hard
not
by everyone
much,
else.
Not as much lately.
Well, because you're persistent.
It's persistent, and it's also, obviously, I started a movie trivia show that is all based on wrestling, but the other thing
movie
is...
Movie trivia showdown.
Thank you. But the Ronda Rousey thing that just happened, this clip with Becky and Charlotte with the old
cars.
School attitude getting arrested thing... Even the most hardcore person on my team that hates wrestling was like, all right, I'm really entertained by this.
Yeah.
And it got people into it, and it is awesome. It's been really good what they've been doing with this angle so far. So
yeah, absolutely. So WrestleMania is 15 matches.
Wow.
A lot of matches this year.
Whole day.
It seems like they add more and more to each card. Like, it gets longer and longer each year.
Yeah.
It feels like, I don't remember exactly how many matches were last year, which is always, I was just like, man, so many matches. And people go like, well, we're wrestling fans. You should be happy as many matches as possible. And I get that. But also, like, people like you who have a family, and people like me who have... the people who have girlfriends and significant others who maybe boyfriends who don't watch wrestling who are like, hey, you're going to be gone all day, you know? Right.
So, or the TV's occupied by it all day.
That's what my girlfriend took. She's taken a whole day. Ryan knows that she's taken a whole Sunday. She's going off to her sister's house, like, or lay by the pool and drink while I watch wrestling all day on the big TV, thank God.
Are you going to be watching live?
All day? It's probably slim to none. I'm going to try my hardest. I know I've been watching a lot of the matches that I want to see, but I'll watch the whole thing. But it's going to take me, just again, I got two kids and a wife who wants nothing to do with wrestling. I will absolutely be watching it in stints, but I'll watch the whole thing. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I miss the old days where you get together with your friends, you sit there and watch it all day, or pizza and whatever. You sit down. Now as you get older, it's not quite, you quite can't
but
do
it's
the
also
same,
what Ryan just said, though, man. It's so long now to where it's like, because that's 15 matches. That's close to what, 9 hours?
Yeah, at least.
10 hours?
Yeah. It's long. It's very long.
It's crazy. And back in the day, what they would do is like, look, we got to cut it down. You're just not making the card.
Right.
These days, there's so many different stars, and because of what has happened inside of the women league, right? Because back in the day, like, the women weren't featured in WrestleMania at all. Now, my personal opinion is that the best thing going on in wrestling. So not only do you get the main event, you got the tag team. There's so much, and there's so many different superstars now that you've got to show so much attention. And with the two brands, with Raw and SmackDown, that it's just difficult. It's not like it was back in 1990 or whenever, even, you know, back in the day.
I think it's back in the day you were serving one purpose. You were serving to sell WWE as the best possible show, but I kind of feel like in today's market they have so many things they have to sell. They have to sell two, they have to sell Raw and SmackDown, so they have to spend equal time on both of them. Like you said, men and women. It's just a lot different in today's age. Like, I saw someone say, like, I want, what's his name? That guy who used to be, Brian Gerwitz, he was tweeting about how, like, back at, you know,
my old boss.
I forget which WrestleMania it was, but he said something like, at seven matches, they were like, Vince was like, that's too much gaga as it is. And now it's like 15 matches.
Yeah. Well, it's what you just said. It's because, look, even when they had that, John Oliver did that report, right? And it showed that WrestleMania was like the number, sixth?
It was something like that.
Something crazy as far as sports things go. It's when the most eyes are on the products. Because even the non-hardcore fan, they tune in because it's WrestleMania. I remember that as a kid. And they watch it. It is your biggest advertising tool for your two brands, and even your third brand when you throw in NXT the night before. It is that weekend where all eyes to bring in those new viewers, to bring in the new subscribers, so you don't want to leave anybody off of the talent that you can really focus on. So by having those crazy amount of matches, it's a lot for us, but it's also something the wrestling fan, you go, that's a lot of content I get to take in.
It reminds me of WrestleMania 3. WrestleMania 3 had 12 matches. It started at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I remember all day, because it was pay-per-view all day, you sat and watched all the matches until the nighttime when Hogan and Giant went at it. So they've decreased the amount of matches every year towards a manageable amount. So this is surprising to see them go up so high. But as Ryan has said, and we've said on this on the recap shows, the advent of having more talent means you got to give them more to do, and so they have to create more matches for them.
Especially when the fans are like, well, you're screwing so-and-so by not putting them in a match. And then there's so many people like that. It's tough. Before we start digging into all these matches, I was wondering one more thing, because I actually find it important, the main event. You mentioned that, too. The main event being a very historic thing, that the women are getting to main event the show. One of the reasons I find it important is because I feel like, you know, I feel like there are going to be little girls across the country who are going to be who going to be seeing this, and it's going to be a big deal for them. Similar to how a lot of people, a lot of young guys saw like Hogan and Andre back in the day, or things of that nature. I know you have a young daughter, and you're trying.
Yeah.
Are you getting closer?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you
how. Did the wife finally cave on this?
Because of what you just said. So that it's because here's the thing that people should realize too, and I think a lot of people, wrestling fans, definitely know this as well too. Because you could, if you're not a wrestling fan, you see, oh, they're just doing a gimmick because of everything, you know, the way that the culture is. It is not a gimmick at all. These three women earned it, and earned it in a way. Would I say that because this is the most entertaining stuff? I don't care, men, women. This is the most entertaining storyline, and they are selling everything, and they are going into it. Mm-hmm. And it is just, it's what I look forward to watching. I'd be like, everything else, there are a lot of great things. But it's this storyline. It's these people's what Becky Lynch has done. I wasn't a big fan of them throwing in Charlotte as just triple threat, but I've come around to it. Yeah. She's selling it. And Ronda, who is, I think, gets a lot of slack. But I think the fans are actually really embracing her doing this. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, my daughter had kind of pitched it to my wife. Like, hey, Mom, can I get to watch WrestleMania this year? And she's, and normally we're like, yeah, she's going to shoot it down. She's like, all right, maybe. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. And then last night I said to my wife, I was like, it's a historic thing that's going on. In the history of WrestleMania, that's going on since 1985, never happened. She's like, that's pretty awesome. And I was like, it's really awesome. And I said, and I always pitch it. I'm like, I'm going to show her a clip. And so she's like, oh, don't show her that. She's going to be doing this. She's going to be running around the bedroom. And she's like, all right, just show her while I'm doing the baby bath time. And I'm like, nice.
Yes.
So I showed her. Now, I didn't tell her that it was people getting arrested and smashing their heads in the car. But I did say it was a historic thing leading up to the event. And I think that I'll be able to get her to watch the main event, at least because of exactly
awesome.
What you
That's awesome.
Said.
That's awesome. That'd be really, really cool. I mean, like, I really do feel like, you know, it's similar when I go watch Black Panther or when I went to go watch Captain Marvel when I went and I got out of the theater and I thought to myself, like, it's crazy how many experiences I've had as a white guy my whole life. Or, I mean, I'm Hispanic as well, but, like, you know, how many experiences I've had where I could, these stories all resonate with me of, like, superheroes that are guys like me, you know, or famous characters that are like me. And so it's when I walk out, I go, it's crazy that like, people of color don't have necessarily a bunch of characters like that, or women don't have a bunch of superhero characters like that. They can be like, hey, that's, like, something that I can resonate with. So I feel like this is going to be like that moment of Black Panther and how big Black Panther was and how big Captain Marvel was.
And what those two movies did that you just mentioned, and I think this match does as well, is because the obvious is that it speaks to who they're aiming at, whether it's women or people of color. That's a given. But what those movies also did and what this match is going to do, it includes everyone. It includes everyone. Like, everyone will be, like, everyone wants to see those movies. Everybody wants to enjoy those movies. Everybody wants to enjoy this match because it's not a gimmick. It is part of the show. Doesn't matter if it's men or women. It does in the obvious part. But these are wrestlers who have earned the spot and who have earned the main event, and it's the right main event. It is the right. There's no other main event that should be going on. I'm looking forward to the Brock and Seth match. I'm looking forward to all those other matches, but there's nothing I'm looking forward to more than this match.
Well, and not just this match, also the significance of the possibly first full black champion if Kofi Kingston does it against Daniel Bryan. Pretty incredible. You could have Sasha Banks holding the belt as a black champion as well, with Kofi Kingston holding the tag team belt, with Kofi Kingston probably holding the belt, the SmackDown championship from Daniel Bryan, which is the original supposed championship before they created that universal thing. That is the one with the lore of years and decades in the WWE. So a lot of momentous stuff could happen at this WrestleMania, headlined by this amazing triple threat match for a lot of the young female fans who might find, like you said, a connection to them, like we did with Hogan or The Rock or Austin or whatever your taste was.
It's funny when I said the Black Panther and the Captain Marvel thing, I thought to myself, you know, we are getting our Black Panther at WrestleMania.
Possibly.
Our Kofi Kingston, and then we're finally being the first black champion, and then, like, Becky is kind of like the Captain Marvel.
Has never been there's been heavyweight champion.
The Rock is half.
We've discussed
well,
this.
But then Booker T has
this, been Booker T was. Booker T thing is
that was the WCW championship that was masquerading as the heavyweight champion.
But never WWE.
It wasn't the belt.
But never the belt that he's talking
the
about.
The belt.
Never the belt that Hogan and Savage held.
Right.
But
doesn't take away from it.
No, it doesn't.
No, of course not.
Well, it's technically still not the number one title in the company. The Universe title is the number one title
Agreed.
In the company.
I agree with that.
For us old school fans, it isn't.
That's what a lot of people feel like. That's the
it
belt.
It shouldn't be.
Right, it shouldn't be.
Because I am an old school fan about as old school as you can get with you.
Yeah.
But I agree with Ryan 100%. The Universal has way more prestige on it than the WWE Championship does. It's a whole other conversation that we've had many times.
Weird because it is a whole other conversation, but it's weird because you would think it shouldn't because it's defended less and the world the WWE Championship is like the champion's always there, which is like the thing they get mad about Brock about, but then at the same time it creates this mystique around the title that does elevate it.
That's why though, because that's one of my big things. We don't have to do a whole title conversation here, but one of the big things is that when the title's defended too much and when the title is defended just because and no one's earned the shot, it's like, who's going to get a defense tonight? That guy. Why? Because that's the story we're telling tonight.
Right.
Oh. And it's defended all the time, and you know you guys not going to lose, and if it happens by accident, just he'll get it back, you know, in another month. Yeah. It takes away from the prestige. The fact that Brock is only on contract and fights every once in a while, it's like, is this the guy that's going to take it from him?
100%.
It's like when that belt is I still think that the belt should be, and I know we disagree on this, but I think the belt should be defended on pay-per-views, and that's it.
Wow.
Because on Raw and SmackDown, you're looking forward to, you just know either it might happen or it just takes away from the contender. Build up the contender show.
I actually agree with you on that.
Do you?
I actually fully agree with you on that. I feel like the shows should be used to build up to title matches. World title matches. I'm okay with, like, mid-card titles, tag titles being defended because it helps you, like, because then it elevates the performers when those mid-card titles become a main event of the show. It elevates those performers. Yeah. So I agree with you in that aspect.
Yeah, just build up the contendership in general, all the divisions inside of those shows to build up the ranking system that gets you to the pay-per-view. But again, another conversation.
I'm trying to convince Christian to do that with the Shmoda. Let me win the title one more and hold it for 6 months before defending it.
That's on you. Just defend it once and we'll talk about it.
It would be nice. I'm Sasha Banks in this thing.
WrestleMania come early.
That's right.
Okay, let's start on the show. We'll start with the kickoff show. It's going to kick off with, I'm guessing, one of the Battle Royals. So we'll start with the men's one, the sixth annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We got Braun Strowman, Andrade, Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil, Tyler Breeze, Jinder Mahal, No Way Jose, everyone. They're all in there. And the guys from SNL, Colin Jost and Michael Che. First, what have you thought? We'll start with you. I know kind of already. But how have you felt about the build to this, at least?
It's been just like, we got all this talent. Let's just throw them into this thing and see what happens. We'll throw in the entertainment aspect of it all with NBC because obviously SmackDown's on USA, which is owned by NBC, so you have those connections there. So it's a fun little storyline. It has a little bit, I know Ryan's pushed back on this, has a little vibe of the David Arquette thing, but we've seen Bob Uecker do the stuff with Kane. We've seen entertainment professionals come in and have a little back and forth, beat Rose with the Thanksgiving stuff. So it there is a heritage of it. I want EC3 to win this thing, but I have a crazy feeling it'll be Strowman throwing out Jost and Michael Che on top of Michael Che, maybe something like that, to finish this whole thing out. But EC3 really needs the rub of this victory to take him to something. So I would like EC3 to win this, but I wouldn't put it past and have Strowman win. It just seems logical since he's the biggest dude in there, you know?
How have you felt about the whole bill with the Colin Jost, Michael Che, Braun Strowman stuff?
I think it's ridiculous, but in a good way.
Okay.
I think that it's very smart. I think it's good because this match means nothing. It means nothing. Mm-hmm. So
that's what I've been trying to say.
Yeah. So the match itself means nothing. So the fact that people are talking about it is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that eyes are on you because of NBC and because of crossover events and because they can talk about it on Saturday Night Live or whatever it is.
Right.
It's like these
which
these,
they haven't yet, which
not
is frustrating.
Yet, but this personality's kind of come out and push you towards it. Who cares? But it's ridiculous. I mean, everything about it, because Colin Jost and Michael Che, who I like a lot on Saturday Night Live, it should show you, it is not easy to act in wrestling because they are awful
actors
they are
terrible.
Inside of this.
Yeah.
Because they don't get it. They don't understand what it's all about.
Well, they don't do sketches.
I was going to say, both of them aren't
that's
actors
why they do the news.
They're both comedians.
No, it's true. Well, they should, and it's shown. Although Michael Che was actually really good in that movie, was it Top 10? The one with Chris Rock.
Okay.
He did.
I haven't seen it. I didn't realize he was in that movie.
He was in it. But anyway, so is Leslie Jones. But it's a great movie. I forget the name of it, of course, but it's a great movie. But anyway,
see a lot of movies.
The silly thing that I don't want to see happen, which is very possible. I don't say this is the Arquette thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was for the title, which is a sham.
That's what
it's
I said.
Like Vince,
too.
Also like Vince Russo winning the championship. It's a sham. But this is something to where you, what you say as far as EC3 winning. Use this to elevate talent.
Yeah.
Use this because the eyes are on you now from a new marketing perspective, that you, that someone brand new who, who's just watching because they've heard of this watches and says, well, who's that? Because I don't know enough about EC3. I don't know. I want to, because I, Braun Strowman, yeah,
it's already established.
But they, if they have, this is, will be, because again, it means nothing. So if Colin Jost or Michael Che wins, it's a ridiculous thing. And it was like, oh, that was pretty dumb that they won. But, and then you move on, you wait for the main event.
Right.
But I just think it's a missed opportunity to not showcase somebody.
So, when it comes to like the, what I think they should do versus what I think they will do, yeah, it's very different. You know, when I look at the past of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, it's a history of missed opportunity.
Right.
You know, from Cesaro winning it the first time and them not really capitalizing on it very well.
Baron Corbin.
To when they had, well, I was actually going to say when Miz Dow should have won, when it was gonna be, when he was the stunt double,
yeah,
and then he did, the whole place assumed he was going to win because he was like one of the most popular things in the company at the time, and then they just had, I believe, Big Show win instead, yeah, yeah, I want to say. So, I also Mojo Rawley. Like, Mojo Rawley, they never followed through with it. They're still not sure if they want to follow through on these video packages they've been doing back, or those vignettes they've been doing for him. And I didn't even remember that Matt Hardy won last year. And,
yeah,
and so, like, it's just so much missed opportunity that I feel... It isn't prestigious like people think it is. Kind of like you were saying, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, to me, it's like... When you go back and you look at the history things, you remember like the Pete Rose things, or
sure,
you remember all these like celebrity involvement things. That I do think this is actually the perfect opportunity to have Colin Jost and Michael Che win. I really do. I think that no one loses anything by getting. It's not like they're pinning him,
right,
so they're not. No one loses anything by like Braun Strowman throwing everybody out of the ring.
They're gonna stay in there the whole time.
No, they'll run. They'll hide under the ring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll,
yeah,
do dumb shit like that, yeah, and then at the end when finally Braun's like, it's us. It's
they
us.
Team up and throw,
and they do something where he, yeah, right, they
or somebody on, else, or somebody else comes, yeah, back, yeah, in and tosses him over. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I see that happening, and then, oh, and then Braun comes in afterwards
and crushes
them, yeah, and then,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's probably like you said. The only reason it's prestigious, by the way, is because it's got Andre's name.
Right.
Exactly. Only reason.
Yeah.
It's like so. Yeah. I don't think they lose anything. But and I will say this much though, I will be very disappointed if Braun is not on SNL this weekend. I watched.
Right, yeah, he should be.
I watched last week, and I'm shocked that they didn't at least mention the fact that they were in the Battle Royal at all.
But why not do something? Sorry, John.
No, I don't know if it's true, but a couple of people tweeted at us that according to the TV listings, it's a repeat. From The Rock.
Again?
No, I saw Kit Harington.
Is it Kit Harington?
Kit Harington's already on.
Kit Harington? See, I asked him, I wasn't sure.
Well, I saw a sketch that just came out that Kit Harington was on with Leslie Jones.
Okay, could be next week, though, because Game of Thrones premieres next week.
Yeah, you know.
Hold on.
Like, is that
SNL plays
out? Maybe
this is the promo for this weekend.
Okay,
so that it is new.
Okay. It is new. Okay,
it's good. New. Yeah, it's right, new so, this weekend.
Cool, the other thing that I was curious about though too is this one, because it's WrestleMania. It's the biggest event of the year for WWE, right? Why not make
April 6th? Yeah, Harrington April 6th. Yeah.
Why not make both of these like to add? Because the question is, it doesn't really mean anything, right? Mm-hmm. There is no. It just has the name in it. Imagine if it was for like a number one contender shot.
Yeah.
Imagine so simple to so throw that in there. And then everyone goes, then everyone doesn't say, oh, they're wasted in this match.
Right.
They're like, well, they're in a number one contenders match.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I completely agree with you, especially because they get rid of the trophy so fast every year anyways.
It means nothing.
It means that the trophy doesn't matter.
No.
You know, like the women's trophy looks like a giant vagina. Like, it's really silly. Just give them something. Like,
yeah,
you know,
number one contender spot.
100%. So, okay. If it were what I think they should do, I 100% agree with you guys in the fact that they should get someone else over with it. I'm with you. EC3 all the way because they have done absolutely nothing with them.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't mind. Did I say Mojo? I wouldn't mind if they had Mojo become the first two-time winner of the Battle Royal and actually pushing this time with whatever this new character they're trying to do is, so they at least look like they're trying with Mojo.
Right.
But I really do think Colin Jost and Michael Che are winning.
I was going back and forth with it, but the only reason why I don't think that they'll win is because I think that they will have that David Arquette and Vince Russo thing in their mind, even though it's not the same.
Keep in mind, Nicholas won the tag titles last year.
It's a great. It's a great point.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
It's a great.
But he's still in the wrestling family because he was the son of a ref.
Yeah, but still. But the difference was though he didn't really win it.
Yeah, he didn't wrestle.
Braun won it.
That's why I really don't think if they win it.
Yeah.
I truly don't think it's going to be like them clotheslining Braun over.
No,
the
I know.
I think it's going to be
something else.
Something stupid happens
by default. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I don't think you're a crazy person. Well, I think you're a crazy person, but I don't think you're a crazy person. But I do think that you're right for that. It's possible.
Yeah.
I'd say I wouldn't tell people. It's like don't bet. You can bet on against them because it's crazy. I would just say Braun's going to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if you were right.
Okay. All right. And then I feel like it's similar to that same conversation. We got the second annual WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. People like Asuka, Carmella, Naomi, Lana, Mandy Rose, Sonya, Nikki, Dana, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, Mickey James, Zelina Vega. To me, it has to be Asuka. They have to rectify whatever I'm so mad about.
You have to, because this is the one thing, as much as I said in the opening of the show, that I cannot wait for this main event. Asuka has suffered for this because I thought they should have done a rematch. Asuka versus Charlotte, that match was fantastic last year. I thought we were going to see that again, and then we would get Ronda and Becky, and we'd have two women for the championships. And again, I like what they're doing now with this main event, but Asuka really had to bite the bullet for it because she got screwed.
She 100% suffered the most out of all.
So
no question.
Give her, maybe they even say, we'll give you the battle royal, right? You should, because if someone else winds up winning this thing, the biggest star is Asuka out of this thing. I mean, Mandy Rose, I think, eventually can get there, but she's not there yet.
Yeah, don't be surprised if Mandy's, it's funny you say that, I was in my head, don't be surprised if Mandy wins this thing. They've been giving her a strong push over the last few weeks, you know, the new shirt, the intro, all of it. You know, Corey Graves can't stop talking about her. He felt that way about Sasha, and Sasha won the belt. So Mandy may be in this kind of like conversation.
No, he hates Sasha.
That's what I'm saying, but he kept talking about it. So once he focuses on somebody, they end up with gold for some reason. So you look at this situation, there's certainly a possibility that Mandy winning. Yeah. Do I think Asuka should? Yes, but what does it bring for Asuka? It isn't a number one contender match. If she wins it, great. She won the one on SmackDown, in essence. And so you're just like, well, what do you want to do?
It throws her back in the mix, though, John. That's the thing. That's the difference, because this whole thing, because it gives them a little bit of incentive, even though, again, it means nothing, but they can at least use it as if it is something.
Yeah.
To where the Braun Strowman thing, they're just playing off the silly angle with getting these guys involved. This is something where Asuka had something to prove, guys. Mm. She went out there with all these other contenders, and she showed she never should have had that. Charlotte shouldn't have had that shot in the first place.
Right.
And now she eliminated everybody. She is on a mission, and here she is in a match tonight, and then she wrecks somebody else. Mm. You can give her that push again because they buried her after WrestleMania, and then they finally pushed her back up.
Right.
And then to bury her again it would be a very big missed opportunity.
I'm going to go in the middle here. I'm going to go with what they should do versus what I think they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
What they should do is have Asuka win and do the things you're saying. I do kind of feel like...
Mandy?
Well, because here's the thing. From what I had heard prior to Charlotte winning the women's title is that it was going to be a three-way for the SmackDown women's title. It was going to be Asuka versus Mandy versus Sonya. So I feel like they transferred that feud that had been going on to this match.
Yeah.
So... In my mind, from kind of what I had heard rumblings that Mandy was going to win the women's title at WrestleMania.
Really? Jeez.
And so...
Way too big of a push, man.
Well, if Mandy eliminates...
I had heard that, but then also, right at... She'd been getting that push.
Yeah, but I think...
And then it really halted. So I don't know if they decided that maybe she's not ready for it, or there wasn't enough room on the card. So for me, it was one of the two, but... I could see them doing a sneaky thing where it looks like Asuka won and Mandy rolls back in.
Does some cheap.
Depending on what happens in the Colin Jost one, because they can't do the same sneaky one for both of them. But I could see Mandy sneaking back in or Mandy and Sonya turning. Like, they stay the whole time and Asuka stays the whole time and they both throw Asuka out.
They turn?
And then they go against her and then she turns on Sonya.
Yeah.
Could there be a turn between the Riot Squad?
Mandy and Sonya. What are they? They're not. They're Fire and Desire. Is that them? Right? I always get that mixed up.
You do.
Right.
You do.
I think it's fire.
But if she turns on him and tosses him out the...
That's what I think. I think she'll... And that'll start a program between her, either Sonya or her and Asuka.
Or
and
all three of them.
All three of them. It could end up in a triple threat match.
All right.
I think Mandy's the odds-on favorite.
It's between definitely the two of them, sure. It's a tough one. All right, then this one, we got the Cruiserweight Championship match. Buddy Murphy versus Tony Nese. I feel like...
You should take this one, right? I feel like Christian and I are not going to be part of this one.
You could have told me there's a baseball player.
This is our bathroom break for both of us. For watching this.
Oh, this was so bad because I was looking down and I could just feel the looks burning through me from the sides of just you two looking at each other being like, got nothing to say with this one, not watching 205 Live, really.
It was that Guardians clip. Who? and it's nothing against them. Like, they could be great wrestlers.
And they are, you know what? It's when you have to make a choice between what you're going to watch throughout the week, 205 Live, as great as the competition might be, it falls in last place for sure.
And it's probably some of the best wrestling that they have, to be honest with you.
Every time I end up watching it, it's hard to
It's just tough for me because, too, I have to, again, from the time that I have, right, I made a decision that what I do is I really watch the majority. If I'm watching wrestling, I watch Raw. Like SmackDown, I read your site and I'll listen a little to the recaps on SmackDown. But that's really now how I get SmackDown stuff. I used to watch
that's
it all.
My dad too. He's the same way.
It's just too hard to do now. Like, and even with Raw, there's certain things that if I don't like certain things, I can fast forward through it.
Yeah.
And then because it's 3 hours, so I fast forward through it and I get to the storylines that I like and I hear about what's going on, and the big angles and what has been working on. That's how I get it. And this has nothing to do with them. There's just no story there that I'm interested in.
It's also you have to prioritize as a wrestling fan. Like, you're like, exactly. Like, you have family. Like, my dad, he was the same way. Like, he's working. He's doing all these things. So I know that my dad, too, like, it's Raw, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, the other ones just depends. You know, and NXT is just not even on his radar. And 205 Live, same way. So, let's just say Buddy Murphy retains?
No, I say Tony Nese because Buddy Murphy, for whatever reason, got himself broken up with by Alexa Bliss. And anybody stupid enough to do that doesn't deserve to have a belt because Alexa Bliss is a goddess.
I could see from just my guess, and then we'll move on, is I could actually see Buddy Murphy's had a great run with the Cruiserweight Championship. Like, he has...
How long has he been champ?
For a minute now. He's had a good little run with the title.
I think I saw him win the title. When did he win the title?
It was one of the pay-per-views. For sure.
You know what?
Wasn't it the Australia? No, he won.
No, I remember. Whenever
did he
win it was
in Australia?
I don't remember where it was, but I did see him, and it was a great match. And
he's a really good wrestler.
Yeah, he is.
He is a really good wrestler. And that's why I have this, like, maybe this inkling of... that he's going to lose it. So, that he's going to lose it and then get called up in the Superstar Shakeup to one of the brands.
Oh, I see. I like that.
I could see that maybe happening, because he has had a really solid reign. I bet you he's impressed the right people.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, I like that idea.
All right,
so Tony Nese takes it.
Nice.
All right, let's get to the main card now. We got... obviously, these ones, I don't know the order or anything, so I'm just going to kind of go with the list I have here. Let's start it off with Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Obviously, this is big. The big Roman Reigns return to WrestleMania, the big, you know, singles match return for Roman Reigns after he came back from, dealing with leukemia. So, obviously, in my opinion, there's no question it's Roman Reigns taking this one.
He's going to definitely win this one, but it's also this is a thing though, and it's obviously not discounting everything that the poor guy's gone through, but he's coming back from it. But the way that they're handling him now, I believe, is the way they always should have handled him, in a way, like, as far as fans are with him now.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, they are with him now, and they're going to, and the WWE is capitalizing on it. Let him build himself back up. He'll get back to the title picture sooner than later. But by doing this, getting him into these little feuds, getting us on his side, because who doesn't want Roman Reigns to win this match now?
Yeah.
I mean, who isn't rooting for him? And by putting him against about as clear of a villain as you can, as Drew McIntyre. Now, the thing is with him is that, and I, our mutual friend Aaron Turner was telling me, like, he was trying to sell me on two guys forever. So who's the Bray Wyatt, guy? He's not even around anymore, that guy who he soon loved. I never saw him as a star, and he tries to sell me on this guy, right? As like the face, who should be the face of the company.
McIntyre?
I don't see it at all. No. I just don't see it. He's just such a old school, but he's an old school kind of 80s villain, which is great to put over Reigns, but he's not a champion. I mean, will he get a U.S. title or Intercontinental title down the line? Sure, but this, he's not a WWE champion. Mm-hmm. And I think that Roman Reigns should take this guy out. He will take him out. Mm-hmm. It'll be an entertaining match because Drew McIntyre sells stuff, and it's just like, oh, this guy's, he's tall, he's big, Vince is perfect for him.
Yeah. Perfect, yeah.
But Roman will take this pretty easy.
I do see Drew McIntyre having a future as a champion, not face of the company status, not long-term status. I could see Vince having to become champion one day. If anything, just to be like, I was right. He is the chosen one. You know, from way back in the day when he said it, just be like, see, told you guys he was world champion material. Had to wait 10 years or whatever. So I do see that. But I agree with you in terms of, like, I don't think he'll ever be... And I'm a huge Drew McIntyre fan, but you're right. Like,
this doesn't have it.
No, I think he does,
really?
Actually. I do, but in the villainous way.
Yeah.
And villains are. Like, I think he's a great, great, great villain. Like, I think he'll be, now that he's kind of grown into the role, he's way more jacked. Yeah. He's like hairy, angry man. Like, he looks like the specimen of a man.
He fits the character for sure. Yeah. I'm not. He's good at what he does.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's not like, going to take the best superstars of all time could transform outside of just the WWE universe and could be these national stars. That's what Hogan did. That's what, I mean, Becky Lynch is starting to do it. That's what these stars are. Then Drew McIntyre is just not that guy.
Yeah. I wonder who's going to win the battle of the wettest hair in this situation between McIntyre and Reigns. My assumption is McIntyre will win this wet hair contest.
You think McIntyre's going to win?
The wet hair contest. But I do think Reigns does win this. But this could turn out to be a surprisingly excellent match that sells Reigns and sells McIntyre, because McIntyre, as we spoke about in the recap shows, his push has kind of got a bit, it's kind of stumbled here towards the WrestleMania match. So you want a good match between both of them. Reigns, although he's over with the fans now, he's one misstep away from being back on the booze side. So who knows how that could happen if he doesn't put off a good match here, because that's always been a part of people's issues with him. They don't think he's that great of a wrestler.
It's part of it,
so
it's the over pushing.
Right, exactly. That's the bigger part of it.
You gotta take it slow.
But now that he's not being overpushed, he's just in this match with Drew, it's really gonna depend on, can he carry a match like this? Can him and Drew put together a great program throughout this match and have everybody going, damn, that was way better than I thought, and now you want to watch both of them in the next thing.
Yeah. And I think Drew is so crisp in the ring, so good, that I think he will bring that match out of Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, that everyone's going to go like, oh, maybe if it's just like not just against Brock, he can have a dope match at WrestleMania, you know, or like old Undertaker, you know, like he, it's not like he's been given great opportunities to put on like classics, but his match with Brock was awesome at WrestleMania.
It was a good match. Stuff.
Like, he's had some cool matches. And I do think that since they're both such, like, big men, it's going to be like...
And they move for big guys, by the way. They're not clunky.
This is going to be one of those, like, classic WWE big man matches. Yeah. So we're all Roman Reigns, right?
Yeah.
Also, it's funny, the wet hair thing. When I got my beard trimmed this weekend, the lady who was doing it, she was like, how do they get their hair so wet? And I was like, well, they pour water on it, you know? And she was like, but there's not some kind of, like, special gel they use to, like, keep it wet? And I'm like, no. They just use a lot of water before they went out there. And she, like, she didn't believe me. She was like, no, there has to be some kind of...
I'm with her.
You think there's something they're using? You worked there. You know they're not.
I was... Dude, this is 17 years ago.
They were still putting water in their hair 17 years ago.
They didn't have the same kind... Like, the Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, those guys weren't running... I mean, those guys had, like, rock star hair. Like, there was... Like, when I was... It was Rock and Stone Cold. What are those guys doing? Kurt Angle, you know?
Bald guys.
Well, Triple H did.
Well, he poured the water. You'd see him pour the water on
his head. I've seen the backstage videos of Roman before going out. He's just literally
dumping
like
it on his head. Yeah, I don't know.
He looks like Stone Cold drinking beers, but he's
a lot of hairspray.
And then you imagine sweat takes over at that point.
That's what I said. I think the sweat takes over for sure. Okay, let's move on from the sweat conversation. We'll switch to AJ. I know. I'm sorry. We'll switch to AJ Styles versus Randy Orton, and I think that this has been built so well, even though it hasn't necessarily been given like tons of time to build it up. I think these two performers have completely maximized their time that they are given to build this up. We were talking on the SmackDown recap yesterday about, you know, just like the two in-ring things they've had have just both been really good, like the back and forth encounters. This has been one where I'm I'm a little on the fence. This is a tough one for me. Well, I'll let you guys go first. What do you think, Rogan?
I think AJ wins this one. I think he's due for a victory in this whole situation. And I think Randy's done a great job playing the heel in this whole situation. And the fact that the last thing you want is the company to win over the independent underdog. And that's how they're painting AJ from his history of being in wrestling. So I think AJ will win this thing because he'll be with the people over the big corporate kind of connection with Randy Orton. And Randy can take a loss and not lose a damn thing. Randy's done great work. He's been in the, over 20 years in WWE. He's done great work over the last year with a number of partners in his dance card. And I think in this one, it's great for AJ to get the victory because he's nowhere near a title belt right now. And he's on the cover that 2K19 had the belt for a while. So I think they have to do right by him and give him a victory here.
See, I agree with you as far as like the setup goes. Mm-hmm. These guys are just—they're both pros and they know how to do it, and they've done it. I just don't care about this match. And
really, you haven't been able to get behind it still?
It's not because
you also
it hasn't driven me to mm-hmm. Every time I see it, I'm just like, okay. Like I saw the whole Kurt Angle thing, like when Orton came out and set it up. Like you said, I think that they have set it up. They've done everything that they were supposed to do. They're doing their job, and they've gained interest for this match. I'm looking in the writers' room for it, right? It's like, what's the end game for it, right? Mm-hmm. Is the end game, like you said, John, if AJ Styles wins it,
yeah,
then it's like, where do you go with him next? Because he said he's only got, what, another year or two left before he's gone? So do you give him one more big run before he takes off, if he indeed is taking off, or do you try to sign him for a little bit more? Right. And with Orton, it's like, I'm just... Again, I think he's a good worker, but I'm like, I don't know if anyone bores me more than Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, when he won the Royal Rumble, no one cared.
Yeah.
When he fought it for the title, no one cared. It's like, He's done it all already. Yeah. And it's just like, what's next for him? Like, what's the angle to get him in to make me care? Like, where are they going to go with this?
Kane. Forever. Like, enough already.
Yeah, it's like...
Big show, too.
Because I think, if AJ Styles wins, then it's like, okay, that was a big victory at WrestleMania. Let's start to push him and move. If Orton wins, I just don't understand why.
Yeah. I have an idea.
Yeah.
Because that's where I was... I'm the same way when I look at things of, like, the writer's room. Like, where does this go? And... We're going to get to it later, obviously, but I believe that Kofi's winning the title at WrestleMania.
Okay.
And if he does, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be right back into a program with Daniel Bryan because they have the whole no immediate rematch type thing. And everyone knows that, like, the common thing has always been that Randy Orton stopped Kofi from becoming champion. Like, that he stopped his push and that the whole stupid thing.
For like, behind the scenes?
Back in the day.
Okay.
Remember when, like, Randy Orton and Kofi feuded back in the day when it was so long ago, but it was, like, basically back in the day, Kofi was pegged as the next guy who was going to get a world title shot or whatever, and then... He feuded with Randy Orton. Remember, like, when he spray painted Randy Orton's car?
Right.
And then a mistake happened in a match, and you can hear him yelling like "stupid" during the match.
Right,
with Kofi.
Yeah.
And
I've
then
seen that.
The push very much got halted, and that kind of like you never heard of Kofi getting a main event push again.
Right.
And so, I feel like they might play into that. And have Randy Orton be one of the first people he has to defend the title against. He's like, you know, I can beat you, you're stupid, blah, blah. And because of that, he might have an actual claim to it if he can beat the guy who was the guy who was champion that whole time.
Yeah, I think you might be right. That's a good call.
And also, it's not like, and to your point, you know, like, I feel like Randy Orton has put people over at WrestleMania for a while. I'd have to have him in front of me, but I feel like he's put people over at WrestleMania. I feel like he lost to Bray Wyatt, didn't he? Or did he beat Bray Wyatt?
I don't remember, maybe.
I don't remember either, to be honest with you. But I feel like they need, like you said, if Randy's gonna feel anything, I feel like he needs a big win at WrestleMania to kind of get himself back on track a little bit.
Listen, you kind of won me over here because here's the thing that you can do with Randy Orton if you have him win and do that angle. This is only if they do your angle because Kofi is one of the most beloved people out there right now. So if he wins a championship and you really want to get Orton over as a heel, then you play into that angle full force, have him do something really despicable to the new champion. You have Kofi win that, hopefully, though, too. Let him hold the belt for a while.
Yeah.
But yes, if you can, if that's the angle they're going with, then I could absolutely see Randy Orton winning this.
And also, you mentioned Kane, and I'm thinking, I'm going back in history here, and if this whole Kofi Daniel Bryan thing follows the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 storyline, if my memory serves me correctly, he then went into a program with another boring wrestler that mm-hmm. WWE trusts, Kane, yeah, which Kane. You mentioned. So I feel yeah. like that's kind of like their testing ground for a new champion. Well, let's put him with a guy that we trust in right. main event yeah. title picture programs.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yep. All right, so are we all ready for that? Did I change you to
no, no, I'm still AJ. Okay. I think you switched me over, though. I think okay. if they go with that angle, for sure, then I'd say yeah. Randy Orton.
Yeah. Okay, farewell match. Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin. It's a... hasn't been the most exciting build. We were talking.
That's saying it kindly.
I still don't understand why John Cena was not put in this match.
Yeah, well, the fans want Cena. That's true. They've been chanting for him.
Yeah, and it makes most sense.
Yeah,
it makes so much sense. The guy who put his first match he ever faced against yeah. them. End it at WrestleMania. Yeah, it would have been beautiful.
I think you said something in a couple of recaps before where he said, well, maybe they'll announce Corbin, but there'll be a swerve where Cena comes out and knocks Corbin out and says, really, is that, or he beats Corbin quickly and goes,
that'd be awesome.
Is that how you want to go out? You should go out against a real.
That'd be awesome.
Are you, he's got to drop out. The ruthless aggression yeah. line. Ruthless he's got to say something about ruthless aggression.
Yeah, be great.
Or whatever it is he did.
I'll be honest with you. I asked a little bit. I haven't gotten an answer yet. I think the rehearsals were today for the show. So. But that wouldn't be part of the rehearsals anyway, I'd imagine. Yeah. So,
well, they would do a Hardy Boys type thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Nobody would know. Yeah. So it's really hard to find out, I imagine, especially with John Cena. They would clearly hold that one in.
Yeah.
The fact that John Cena hasn't been advertised for WrestleMania at all, I do find a little suspicious
yeah,
still.
Yeah, yeah.
So for that, my prediction here is Kurt Angle beats Baron Corbin quickly.
And like then fight, he just and then fights like Cena.
Corbin slides in and he instantly either puts him in the ankle lock or hits the Olympic slam and pins him 1-2-3, and then Cena's music hits. He comes out and does the whole ruthless aggression.
That'd be great.
They recreate the whole ruthless aggression scenario and then yeah. they wrestle and then Kurt Angle puts Cena over, you know, to end it.
I would love that. I think we're going to be disappointed, though.
I know. See, that's the thing. Yeah. It's one of those.
Angle will win, though. It'll just be disappointed.
I think Corbin beats Corbin pretty easily.
It's one of those scenarios where it's almost like it sometimes feels like if fans want something too much that's so obvious.
Right.
They're like, well, we can't just do that.
Right.
We have to do something a little more creative. Look
like, yeah, right. Like you guys came up with it.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. When it's like, just give them what they want. Yeah. Who cares?
The place would lose their minds.
And also, I feel like the only, and we've talked about it, the only reason I feel like the sliver of hope for this being a little bit of a swerve is that. Well, it's just that they've been rolling the red carpet out for all his other opponents. It's like Rey Mysterio,
right.
AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. Yeah. Baron Corbin, you know, and I'm coming around on Baron Corbin, but there has to be.
Are you coming around on Baron Corbin?
A little bit.
I know.
Not like in the ring, just as a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a character, I could see it.
I'm not wanting to watch like a top 10 match. Baron Corbin matches of all time.
There aren't.
They
were trying to push that guy forever, though. The best thing they ever did was get him involved in the storylines, though. That was the best thing they've ever done.
The Constable.
Yeah.
Also shaving his head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He wasn't putting enough of the water in.
He was. He was just showing how receding it was. His hairline was.
It looks much better with the ball.
All right. Next up, we got a Falls Count Anywhere match. The Miz versus Shane McMahon. Man, how have you felt about this? I know how we've felt about the build up to this one.
What your opinion is on it yet. I'd like to hear it. But the Miz, and I told you this, Ryan, many times. I think I might have said it to you, John. Mm. When we went to SmackDown when they were here recently, the Miz, who lived in Los Angeles for a long time, is from L.A., he cut a promo during the Dark match, and it was, and I think I told
you. You did. You raved about it.
It was incredible. It was like something of, because he wasn't in this guy. He's not really playing the goofy right now. They're kind of spinning this. This is where I'm going to get with this. But like, he cut this promo that reminded me of like the stuff that like The Rock and like the old school guys would do back in the Attitude Era. Right. And I was like, that's the face. That's the guy that has not been leading this company yet. That's the guy. And then they went into this silly angle with him and Shane, you know, and I'm like, oh, no. And then when Shane turned on him, I'm like, well, wait a minute. This could be the start of this guy that I'm hoping to see.
Right.
And I saw the first glimpse of that when he kicked the piss out of everybody who Shane tried to when Shane came down the ramp and he's sitting there. And I was like, OK, this is another one of those conversations where we just had. I hope they do it right. I hope that they just like, because Shane's going to take the bumps. Shane's going to get, but you don't need Shane to win this match at all. You got to put Miz over, and you got it. This could be the start of the Miz coming. I don't want to see Miz's heel again for a while. Mm-hmm. I want him to go heel eventually because he's fantastic at it.
Yes.
But give me that anti-hero type of Miz to where he is now all business, to where we saw with him breaking through. He beats Shane and then gets into a new program, and you can really focus on him. But I think Miz takes this match, and he should, and it'll be a war.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's the best case I've heard anyone make for why this is an interesting match, because I haven't enjoyed my whole thing that I told Rilke is I haven't enjoyed. I'm all about like more so actions speaking louder than words, and I feel like there's been no heroic actions on the Miz's part to show that he's a good guy. He's more just kind of been doing what he's been doing, but against a heel now,
right.
In Shane. So, but you're right. If they want to go all in on the Miz being a face, he definitely has to win here.
Yeah.
He has to solidify that with a strong win. I'm trying to figure out like how they could make him more of a hero in this scenario. Maybe the dad gets involved because the dad always goes to WrestleMania weekend.
They've been playing that for sure, but even if they, like, then they might do that. But even if he wins and doesn't necessarily do anything heroic in this one, it allows him now. He took out the evil son of the chairman, right? And now it's like, okay, wait a minute. All eyes are on you now. What are you going to do next? What's your reign as this face now? Because now the turn happened. This is the match to really prove it. He wins this match. Now do your business and now show me that you can be a face. But go out there and start cutting those promos. Start using that golden mic, you know, like let's see what he can do.
Well, the question is, where does he go? Because if Kofi does win the title, he can't start a program with Kofi. So that would be a tough situation for him. I agree with that. I think absolutely.
He could get in the U.S. title picture, though.
Yeah, he could get.
What about Daniel Bryan, though?
Or they could go that route.
Yeah, that's possible. That
would have done that
switch. Yeah. But I like Miz winning this thing, absolutely. I think Shane's going to enjoy this. As you know, because he rarely gets to do to this level, so it's going to be a lot of fun for him to do it. Do think Miz needs to win. This could be a longer match than people think it's going to be. I think that's what's going to be interesting as the card goes along, how long this match is going to be, because these guys can fight all day and all night. So this will be fun overall, but Miz has to win this. Shane wins nothing by winning this, and I think Miz beats him, then carries off the trophy, best wrestler,
whatever it was,
that was his crown jewel, and so he takes that and rolls forward with it. And I think that's the right scenario for Miz. Also because, like we just talked about on the SmackDown Live thing yesterday, the new season just started of Miz and Mrs.
Yes.
So it makes all sense in the world. Synergies, people, synergy.
I saw a report this morning that I think it was Dave Meltzer saying that they moved, that when they go back to Saudi Arabia, WWE, it's actually sooner than it said in the touring schedule. That it said like they're going to go maybe, I think it was April. I think it's a June or something like that. If that's the case, I feel like they're going to extend this to Saudi Arabia. It started in Saudi Arabia. It's going to end in Saudi Arabia.
Like a Hell in a Cell or something?
Or the actual Best in the World finals that never happened, or something stupid like that.
Do you think it's going to continue after this match? Is it going to keep going?
I kind of do.
Wow. Hope not.
And if that were the case, I think you maybe mentioned this on the recap at some point. I actually think Miz Dad is going to turn on Miz.
On Miz.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that Miz Dad, because you need to have sympathy for a face. And you can't have him lose. If he's going to lose, you have to create sympathy in that loss, right? And if he just loses because Shane jumped off of something tall, you're not going to get that sympathy, right? But if he thinks the dad that he said finally is proud of him and loves him,
right.
If that dad looks like he's coming out to help him, and instead decks Miz in the face, and then Shane pins him, and it's because of the money, and his dad said, you've been a bad person the whole time. You have done shame on our family, and they can extend that for a few more months. That will make Shane be a little more sympathetic. I'm sorry, Miz be more sympathetic.
Yes, but that's the kind of stuff that they do now that I hate.
I know.
It drives me nuts because I don't need this story to continue anymore. I still think you can do exactly. You're not wrong in where you want the Miz to be more sympathetic, because he's been so despicable for so many years.
Yeah.
But you can do it in different ways. You can do it inside of this Daniel Bryan stuff too, because if you sure. turn let Shane do other stuff. Let Shane be the maniacal kind of what Vince was back in the day. Let him do it on SmackDown his way. You know, be Channel Mac, but inside
he will Channel Mac, and he's got Miz Dad as like his assistant, and
that's possible.
I just think this is disgusting to me that I just have such high hopes for what the Miz could do.
Right. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I wish everybody would have seen that promo because I always liked him in 32. I actually used to think when he had the long hair, he was ridiculous. And yeah. I was like, he was like a fop. And I was like, what is this guy doing? I'm like, he's ridiculous. And then he was just so good on the mic that night. And I liked him more so that time. But he just has something that they're not utilizing yet. And I hope that this is the start of that.
Yeah.
This is another one of the scenarios where I go, like, what I would do versus what I think they're going to do. So I'm trying to think like Vince McMahon when I think of the Miz Dad thing. And if I have my Vince McMahon goggles on, it's the Miz Dad scenario
it's a very Vince moment.
Makes much more
There's
sense.
No doubt about it.
I agree, though, that I do think that Miz should probably win. However, that would solve my heroic issue.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm leaning towards that, because I do think he needs something to make people care about
him. So you're saying Shane?
No, yeah, Shane with help from Miz Dad.
I'm saying Miz takes it. Miz will take it, and I'm definitely being optimistic, but I'm hoping that they realize it, that they push this guy. This is the start of it, and then we start a program to see the rise of what the superstar Miz really could be.
I also feel like there's only so many faces that can win on the show too.
Yeah.
That's
the
other reason, and Vince loves Shane winning. Yeah. So, what's your final one on this?
Yeah, Miz definitely, but with a secret hope that it is Shane with
you want to see that?
Your safe money is on Miz winning, but like,
because I know Vince.
Wild card on Vince.
Yeah. After 30 years of watching, I know Vince, so that's a possibility.
All right, no holds barred match with Triple H's career on the line. Triple H versus Drax Batista.
What career? You're done. You're an executive. What career?
He still wrestles, though.
Hand over the executive job, then we're having a conversation.
See, honestly, the stipulation, that stipulation on top of it is why I feel like Triple H is going to win. Batista should win. See, this is one of those ones where they should
do
what
they want. Is a heel. This could be the heel win.
That's where I'm going with it, because I think exactly, I think this is a swerve. I think everyone thinks Triple H is going to win, because everyone says, Batista doesn't need to win. He's a movie star. Who cares if he loses this thing? It'll be a battle. Triple H is now playing the face on this side of things, and he'll win because they're not going to retire Triple H from the ring. Let's do it. And I think Batista doing this because I've never been a big fan of Batista as far as in the wrestling goes. A lot of it was after my time. I think he's been playing this role brilliantly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that, and this also comes to be how much better he's gotten as an actor.
Yes.
Because this is a guy who puts in 100% in everything that he does. Because if you go to his earlier stuff, what he was doing inside of films, it was okay.
Yeah.
Stuff that he did in Blade Runner, stuff that he did in the movie with the Jodie Foster movie, the Hotel Artemis.
Yeah, Hotel Artemis.
He is working hard, and you see it now in this product.
And he steals the Guardians movies even when they give him like a small line, he owns that line.
Yeah. He's working it, and I think that's why I care about this match. It's because the stipulation, but it's also because of the reasoning why he wants this match, playing a little bit into reality, you know, and the fact that Triple H has never beaten him, you know. Yeah. So like I think it would be better to do what they did for Undertaker for so long. No. You think that because he's never going to lose, he's going to lose tonight.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen tonight. Batista wins.
Yeah, and if you're Batista, why do you come back to lose? It doesn't make sense to you for your career. Why do I come back and become in a program? I'm already set in Hollywood. I've got four movies.
And he's got a big ego.
Yeah, he's got a big ego. He believes in himself a lot. That's why he left WWE, because he knew he was meant for more. You've got four other movies coming out. To me, it's like you don't come back. Like, The Rock came back, beat Cena, then lost a year later. With Batista, I don't think he's coming back anymore. Like, do this, finish it off. He wins once and for all. Maybe him and Triple H shake hands at the end. Respect between rivals once and for all. Evolution comes together at the end there, and they do their thing, and it's done. So I think that's how it's going to go.
See, I feel like Batista, like, as much people say that, like, maybe ego type stuff, he really, like, he has just wanted to come back to end his career in a way that he felt satisfying.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he wasn't happy with the Daniel Bryan stuff and then that short evolution run. And he really just wanted to end it with someone he respected. So when I look at that, I go, well, he doesn't need to win then. Like, he came back. He was even willing to do house shows. I remember back,
Was.
He was like, I'll even do house shows, like, to come back. And they were, like, not interested at first.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy. Yeah. It's insane. So I feel like, yes, what you're saying makes sense in terms of your brand. And, like, when you come back, you lose. That, like, hinders your brand. But at the same time, like, I think of, like, Vince McMahon and his toy box.
Yeah.
And I don't see Vince McMahon pulling Triple H out of his WrestleMania toy box of part-timers who he can throw in there for
a big retirement's game. Never retirement, man.
But also, WrestleMania, they try to make it be.
They try, but Undertaker came back, you know. But the thing
but
is...
But they never said it was a retirement.
With Flair,
no,
he stayed retired.
They just implied it.
No, you're right, but maybe there's other things we don't know that he wants to retire. Maybe he wants to. Maybe
I mean,
he wants
we also know how serious that injury was that he suffered.
That's what I'm saying. So, but the other thing that you said that's right too is as far as branding goes, wrestling isn't his brand anymore.
Right.
That's also a good point.
Yeah. So the thing is too, I'm not on the thing of like that he just won't come. He won't lose because he came back because. As long as it's a good match, and as long as he shows he's still a badass and that he can whoop up on Triple H, he'll have done enough. I just think because they're telling everybody, it's like, they're not going to retire Triple H, that if you retire him at WrestleMania, people are going to go, whoa.
If that swerve factor of like that guy going.
Yeah, that's right.
That Ellis Maybe guy or whatever.
That's right. That's right.
I also think they screwed Batista over so many times. And you mentioned like they had SmackDown in DC and didn't invite him a few years ago. Yeah. It's like, what's the point? Oh, SmackDown 1000. This year didn't
or
invite
last
him.
Year, last year. Last
didn't
year.
Invite him, and it's like, well, they've kind of wronged him in a couple of situations, including bringing him back with the Daniel Bryan thing and booking him incorrectly with that and not rolling with what was happening with the fans. I think they owe it to him to have him beat Triple H and be done with this
and be the guy that retires.
Yeah, but retires Triple H. It's a good thing for him to hang on the wall for now. And a year or two later, you bring Triple H back, nobody's going to give a shit.
He's also an executive, so he can
do whatever he wants.
Defend the company or whatever.
Yeah.
He fights in NXT.
I was thinking that when you said the retirement thing. I was like, well, he does have his own thing. He didn't say he retired NXT or whatever. Yeah, yeah. They make that its own brand. He could be like Papa NXT. He could be the real final boss. They used to have like the final boss in NXT. It was like Cesaro and Regal. Triple H was the final boss in NXT. That's wild now.
True.
So then your final guess
is Batista.
Batista winning and ending Triple H's career.
Yes,
for you.
Batista. You got Triple H?
I'm going Triple H. Okay. I'm sticking with Triple H. Fatal 4-Way. For the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, the Usos versus Ricochet and Aleister Black versus Sheamus and Cesaro versus Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura.
I really don't care.
All right, I'll start out. Ricochet and Aleister Black, I think the way they've been building this thing, they have a real, real chance at winning this. But they just put the belt on the Usos. I can't see them taking it off the Usos at this point. So I think the Usos take this with an incredible, incredible match that'll probably steal the show.
Yeah, I'm on the fence between those two as well. I feel like the Usos just signed a new 5-year contract with WWE. We put it on the site yesterday
Rikishi for going to Twitter and making a big deal about it.
And they got a raise that came with it. So that factors into my decision a little bit. But also, like you said, they really have heavily been pushing Ricochet and Aleister Black. As much as I'm enjoying Team Aleister Black, I kind of feel like they're going to get split up in the Superstar Shakeup. I feel like they've been getting the book over, doing this tag team stuff, but both of those guys are better served as singles wrestlers. I don't think the tag team division really needs them. As much as I've enjoyed their tag matches, I think that honestly the main reason they've been keeping them together is because they were part of the Dusty Classic and they were trying to create synergy. Also, it's their first WrestleMania. They got time. You know, for that reason, I feel like they're not going to get pinned, but I feel like the Usos are going to, they're going to beat Ricochet now. So, like, I think the Usos retain here.
This will be definitely a high-paced, entertaining match. These matches always are, but I just have issues with the teams division across the whole entire brand. It's just not the way that it used to be, and it also they just kind of. The only team that I seem the bar is the team that is always around, the Usos as well too, but like those are like the main teams, and then other teams kind of bob and weave their way in. It's not like this solid division. anybody can be champion at any time. This is my same problem that we had before. There's a ranking system and all this, and like, it's either who's the champion this week? If I can guess, it's the Usos. Oh, no, who's the champion this week? It's the Bar. Right. It's like, oh, there's some other random team, but now the Usos have it again. I feel like the Usos win it every month. How many times have they been champions?
It does feel that way. It does feel it's like changing the back and forth.
There's no prestige to it. It's my biggest problem with some of these titles. Mm-hmm. And I think, so again, when we get to the main event, one of the reasons that this Raw's title is so prestigious right now, and it's very different than Brock because mm-hmm. Ronda defends it all the time now. She's had it for a little bit. The title, these titles stay when they stay with people for a little bit, and there's defenses, and it's like no one can take it off them. Oh, who's finally going to do it? But when they just keep trading back and forth, I don't care about the match. It's not against, I totally understand. It's not against anything of these teams.
No,
totally. They're all great teams.
It's overkill. It just makes you lose your interest because it's like this doesn't feel important.
Yeah, it's not important.
And your point is valid because Ricochet and Aleister Black were put together just a couple of months ago. Rusev and Chuck and Nakamura as well. They're not like story tag teams. They've been together for a while. So, fair point.
In fact, Rusev and Nakamura still doesn't make any sense as a tag team to me, considering they were feuding right before and they didn't have like a Bar moment where they became homies. It was like they hated the same person one night. So now they're friends forever. It's like, that made no sense. But your final one, you're just
Usos.
No care?
No, Usos? No, I'll say this. Usos keep it. Yeah. Or the Bar.
And then the other fatal four way for the night for the women's tag team championship is going to be the Boston Hug Connection versus the Iconics versus Beth Phoenix and Natalya versus Tamina Snuka and Nia Jax. I believe this match is going to go one of two ways. If the four horsewomen are going to be involved in like a closing moment involving like Ronda or Becky and Charlotte, then I think that they need to have the Boston Hug Connection retained so that there's a bunch of women's titles being represented at the end of the night. But I also do think that it's a good possibility that Iconics win too, that they sneak out a win and that the title belt get moved over to SmackDown.
I'm going to go with what I want, and that's that Sasha and Bayley keep. I think that they've earned it. I think that this goes back to my previous point. These are brand new titles. You have the opportunity now. This is a title that was just created. Mm-hmm. Let your champions be champions for a bit. Let them hold on to it. Let them defend it. Let them beat all these teams. Let them have their feuds and like scratch and claw and do everything that they can to get to that, to be those champions. Like, oh man, they're just so good. They're the first ones ever, and they proved that they should have been because they kept on doing it. And the first one that they really showed it was at that four-way at WrestleMania. You remember that, what they did there? They retained it.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
It's a way for them to earn, they've already earned respect for what they've done, both those ladies. But this, winning this four-way, it's like, and then let them keep doing it, and let them lose it at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
You know, like, let them lose it after that. Let them hold it for a little bit.
Yeah. I don't see any tag team that comes close to what Sasha and Banks can do on the female side of things, in my
opinion. Sasha and Bayley.
They are so good at what they do. They've built it. They've earned it. They are legitimate friends. And I think you're right, Chris. It's a new title. Let the champion have it for a while to build a legacy of it or a foundation of a legacy for it going forward. When a new female tag team or a female tag team emerges that can be a legitimate threat to their title, then you have them going. I truly believe that it's Mandy and Sonya that will be the next ones if they don't bring up, Kairi Sane and Io up into the main roster. That could be a fun tag team to go against them. But I don't see anybody, including these tag teams, that really should take the belt off Sasha Bayley if you just made such a big deal of giving it to them or having them win it, rather, in the last pay-per-view.
Well, I agree with both of you in terms of like prestige wise. If you're trying to build up a new title, you should definitely keep it on them. Yeah. 100% agree with you. I just sometimes when I have those Vince McMahon thoughts in my mind where I'm trying to like think how he thinks, he knows that everyone thinks that, and he like wants to get everyone like mad, like, well, they deserved it, And so that's the only reason sometimes I think that maybe.
Yeah, you're not wrong, which is such a silly way.
It is a silly way of thinking.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with you guys. I agree. Yeah. I think Boston Hug Connection retains here.
Yeah.
Intercontinental Championship, Bobby Lashley versus the Demon, Finn Balor. I'm going with Finn Balor getting the title back.
Me too. And this goes back to, it's a broken record conversation at this point, but it's just like, Seth was champion for a little bit, then he lost for a second, then he got it back, and then Dean got it, and then Dean lost it, but he didn't get pinned, and then Finn's got it, and then Bobby's got it. It's like, who's the champion? And it's like, so finally, when they thought, because Finn, we've been waiting forever to get the push.
Yeah.
And then he gets the Intercontinental title, and then they give it to Bobby. Why? Because they want him to take the belt off him at WrestleMania. He'll be a two-time Intercontinental champion. But the same thing, again, broken record, let him hold it for a little bit. Because if you want Finn, if you like Finn, you think, because I think Finn really proved himself and showed what he's got when he fought Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you saw what he's done, they even use it in this Seth Rollins thing. They used that example of how the little guy was able to do it. I still don't like his finishing move. I think that anybody could kick out of a stomp to the stomach, but that's another thing. I like him a lot. He's one of my favorite guys out there. But I think he wins the championship. I also think when he goes into demon mode, it was something special when he won the Universal Championship. It would also be really cool to see him win it again. Yeah. And plus, Bobby Lashley is a good mountain to climb, but you don't need him as the champion.
No, yeah. And I also think that I also feel like you need to rebuild the demon.
Yeah.
I feel like the demon, he's gotten so far away from it and it's such a cool element of his character that if they were to bring it back and he loses, it's dead. It's completely dead, the demon. There's no reason to continue doing it if they bring him back and
demon's not working, you lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, and so I think that if they don't, it's a huge mistake here. I think that it really got silly when they went to do that, like, demon versus Sister Abigail thing that got scrapped because Bray Wyatt got sick, if I recall. But I think that they waited long enough to pull the trigger on the demon coming back. Good moment to do it, but he has to win or the demon, there is no more demon.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Demon King, definitely Finn Balor. There's nothing gained by having the demon lose at all. And Lashley, you got to figure out what you're going to do with him. Let's see how he reacts with having the strap, the Demon King and Finn, and how the fans react to it. And then you start to move him into a situation where the ultimate title is the goal as well. So, and with the superstar shakeup, Demon could go back on to Raw, which would be fun to see him back on there. So, yeah, I think Demon... I mean, go SmackDown, rather. So I think Demon definitely.
Is a shakeup on Monday Night Raw, like, right afterwards?
Or it's a... No, isn't it a... Didn't they do, like, a weird way this way? Isn't it, like, the Raw and SmackDown after Mania, and then the next week is the Superstar Shakeup, right? Isn't that how they're doing it now?
Right. Yeah.
International Superstar Shakeup or whatever. So, yeah. No, because it is. It's out of the country.
Okay.
I also feel like it's possible that because they've kind of teased Bobby Lashley and Leo breaking up, like, this is maybe the end of that
period. Yeah, I think you're right.
And that...
He squashes him at the end.
Yeah, he just beats the crap out of Leo, finally, and that
where does
when
Leo
they
go?
Do the superstar shakeup, Leo goes to a separate brand from Lashley and maybe wrestles...
Fights as Cruiserweight or something.
Yeah, or something like that. And that maybe they bring up Stokely Hathaway now they actually signed him. You guys probably aren't as familiar, but he's a popular manager on the indies, and a lot of people at the time, when Lashley got signed, we're like, man, if they had him with Stokely, he'd be a way bigger deal. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them maybe do something
Where's
cool like that.
Where's the guy that pissed himself? Is he still fighting?
Well, because one of the guys from AOP got injured.
Oh, okay.
So they haven't really, they've been on main event, basically.
Okay.
They've been relegated to that. All right, United States Championship, Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio, tentatively, because he got injured.
Who did?
Rey. Rey was, they said before SmackDown last night that Rey suffered an ankle injury.
Oh, right.
They're going to reevaluate things as they get closer to WrestleMania before they
decide. Real injury?
Mm-hmm. That's what they said.
Okay.
That's what it said. That's how it seems. I don't know if you saw on Raw in his match against Baron Corbin, but there was an awkward
spot during
the match where it looked like something might have happened. I'm kind of bummed because I was hoping that we were going to get the Dominic payoff since they started showing him. I thought for sure since Dominic's been trained to wrestle that they were going to have Samoa Joe beat him up. I don't know what they do here if Rey Mysterio doesn't wrestle.
They just scrap the whole match or no?
Kevin Owens.
You think Kevin Owens?
Yeah, probably right. What else is Kevin
Owens? I would have said Cien Almas, but he's in the Battle Royal.
He's also a bad guy. You have like bad guy versus bad guy.
True, very good point.
That's the same thing with Kevin. Well, I guess they're kind of playing Kevin as like a tweener
now.
Yeah,
he's a tweener,
So I would take KO if he goes into this situation, but if not, if Rey fights, I think Samoa wins. Right? You said you can't have all the faces winning.
I agree.
This is a heel that should win.
I agree with all of that. I think this is another thing with Samoa Joe. It's like he is. They've been trying so hard to really get him over again. It's just again. I'm sorry. It's sounding like a broken record, but it's the same. It's the same thing. There's certain characters that you want to put over and you want to keep that kind of dominance. And if they have a title, that's the way to do it. And Rey Mysterio has proven everything already. He doesn't need to win this. And if it is, it's just kind of throwing a champion. And then then Samoa Joe wins it back on SmackDown next week.
Right.
I think Samoa Joe definitely should stay as champion, regardless of who they throw him in there with. However, I could also see two things. Maybe. If it's Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio, I think Samoa Joe should win.
Mm-hmm.
I could also see if Rey Mysterio's not in the match, them pulling a surprise right there.
Like Honky Tonk and Ultimate Warrior?
I was going to say more so like Sami Zayn, who they said is coming back soon. Okay. Right. And maybe like if he was going to be on the Raw after Mania. Or one of the surprises they're saving for that, transferring into this, you know, something they're pocketing for that, and having, you know, Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe, because that would be a pretty awesome match for the U.S. title.
Sure.
Or the other thing I was thinking...
Hulk Hogan.
No.
I'm kidding.
The other one I was thinking... if it's not Rey Mysterio, I could... from what I've heard, Lars Sullivan has started to... is doing better. And I saw a picture of him with other wrestlers last night where he was smiling, out hanging out with people again. If he's better... It would be a kind of cool payoff to all those things they did. If they're like, he doesn't have an opponent, and then it's like the music hits.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's the big wrestling.
That's what happened with Ultimate Warrior and Honky Tonk.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it was like back in the SummerSlam. We're like, bring out anyone from the locker room. I don't care. Oh, don't say that, brother.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So I could see that happening as well. But I do think I'd be like, they're still going to do Samoa Joe for Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. Samoa Joe.
Okay, now we got the three heavy hitters here, and then we'll be done. We got We got WWE Championship match. We got Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston, and I feel like we're all going to be on the same page as this one.
Yeah.
It will be a massive mistake if Kofi Kingston does not win the WWE Championship.
Yes, but.
Christian's got a finger up for those of you listening to the podcast.
I have a yes, but.
Okay.
It's something that you said earlier, and that is Vince likes to piss people off.
Yep.
And it's not one of these things of like, yeah, but he wouldn't piss off people this way. Oh, yes, he would. Oh, yes, he would, because everyone thinks Kofi's going to win, and everyone thinks that he should win because of the pushes that he was supposed to have that he didn't get, and because of the way that they've been building this angle, and from Big E sending out the videos and everything too, that it's like, it's our time now. And because of everything that what the message in general, what they built on this, that could the ultimate villain of Vince McMahon do one of those things that you're talking about where he gets involved and does something? This is the match that he would do it in. Now, I do think Kofi's going to win the match.
Okay.
And I do think Kofi will win the championship for what we just said before in regard to maybe whether it's, and I liked your angle with Orton and then being able to build him up. And you need new blood. You need a new star.
Yeah.
It's being written for you.
100%.
It's being written for you. You have a star. Make him the champion. Brian's done it already before. These other guys. This is your new guy. But there's also something to be said that if he loses, that maybe they can set something up, that it doesn't end. That it doesn't end and it continues on a little bit more, and they build this angle out with Vince.
I hope it was a mistake, but James, who tweets during the shows, he tweets from the Wrestling Sheet account, he pointed out this one thing, and I don't think this is the way they're going to go with it, but he did point out during his coverage last night, I'm trying to pull it up, if you look at the contract that Kofi signed last night, right? If you look at it, it's the date is for March 10th, 2019.
Yeah.
April.
Right.
So I don't know if they're still maybe going to screw him over and say, you signed the contract for a date that already happened.
Wow.
Or if it was just an intern that screwed up and didn't expect someone to zoom in on it.
It's the latter. You're going to have them wrestle, but I think they're also going to... But like. I see Kofi winning it, but I would not be surprised at all if Vince gets involved in this match because he's Vince and because he's part of this story and screws over Kofi and then even really pissing people off. I mean, imagine that place. If Vince comes in, does something to, he pulls it like a Bret Hart type situation, you know, not to that extent, but you know what I mean?
But if they did do it to that extent, imagine that.
Just
place.
Imagine. So anyway, there's so much that can happen. It could cause a lot of drama, and it'll bring a lot of attention, especially when the eyes. This is a big match, but the eyes are not focused in all the way on that one yet. Mm-hmm. People will be talking about it if something huge happens. But I still go Kofi. Kofi, but with no shock at all if he doesn't win.
Yeah, here's what I say, Vince. I think Vince will get involved because he's been involved in this whole thing all the way through the buildup. And he's put Kofi through numerous gauntlet matches. So I think Kofi wins, but Vince comes out after Kofi wins and says, no, it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. and now makes him run the gauntlet against Bryan.
So that's 19 matches. So
approximately 19 matches. Daniel Bryan wins the second one, right. Comes close to winning the third one, then Kofi wins it.
Oh my God!
Super pissed. But that's, I mean, just
not a bad idea,
right? Because look at the gauntlet. The way you've made Kofi run the gauntlet, he wants to put him through all these hoops. Certainly possible.
It's got to be a quick first match.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think it'll depend on the it'll depend on the length of the wrestle. But I think Kofi wins. But I have this weird feeling like either Kofi loses or Becky loses. I don't know, but one of those I feel like has to be a bit of a swerve. Yeah, you just Vince loves to do this,
or he comes out and says that. He won it, but he already has another title defense. He has to wrestle in a three-way against Big E and Xavier Woods for the WWE Championship.
That's awful.
And they're like,
that's crazy.
What? Yeah, like, right. You know, sure. I hope they don't, but I can. Yeah. I agree with you guys that there has to be some. I would just knowing
it's not a clean match.
Watching WWE my whole life.
Yeah.
Kofi or Becky, one of them has to have,
you'd think
something.
Unless that's what you think's going to happen. You never know. I mean, it could be, you're not wrong in thinking that, but what if it's like, there's no way Kofi and Becky wins, but then guess what? Kofi
and Becky wins.
And Seth. Right.
That's another one. Everyone else, and we'll get into that.
You're right. Like, one of the three is not going
to
win.
He's not
going
to go the way, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd think. That I think...
I don't think you get three faces.
New WWE champion, new Universal champion, and new.
That would be weird. That would be weird.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy.
I think Lesnar beats Rollins.
I've been on the Lesnar beats Rollins train for a while. We'll switch into that. We all think Kofi, right?
Yeah, we all think Kofi. Kofi with a surprising no one if Vince gets involved and screws him over.
With an asterisk thing.
I think it's possible, very possible, that Daniel Bryan wins, but then Kofi wins the championship on Raw.
Okay. Oof. All right.
Or SmackDown. Excuse me.
SmackDown. Yeah. Yes. All right. I like it. You know, when it comes to the Universal title match, God, this whole time, I've been watching it thinking Seth loses, Brock retains, Roman regains the title in Saudi Arabia to get it back to where they were going initially. But I don't know, man. I'm like starting to think that like, everyone thinks that, and Vince hates to do what everyone thinks, and we've just been saying it. Well, not all three. We can't have three happy endings. What if they do? What if this year they do? What if this year they do have three happy endings in the world title matches? I don't know. You know, I think I'm gonna go. I'm taking the dark horse. I think I'm going to go with Seth.
Okay. I've had all the matches that I've been picking, I haven't been as sure as I am with this one. I've had Seth, and I stay with Seth because they've been playing up this thing of the Finn Balor had him, Bryan had him, AJ Styles had him. They all pushed him to the limit, and I think this is the one because, again, this is the opportunity on this card to push so much of your talent in new ways, in brand new ways, with all the eyes on you. And Seth is one of those guys who, to me, it's Daniel Bryan, it's Seth Rollins. Those are the guys that are really, like, you hear the way fans, even dead crowds, when they're dead at these events, pop for that guy, man. I mean, they love him.
And they love him.
And him as the champion and kind of going through what Triple H always saw in him and having this, him as the championship could start a line with Roman Reigns down the line. It could be a big storyline. Now, whether it's playing Seth as a heel champion or finally doing it and making Roman a heel, which I don't know if they'll ever do, but point is, there's a lot more to do with him as the champion right now because they don't do what you and I do with the other champions, want us to do with the other champions, and that's Brock is every once in a while. They want that Universal Champion, I think, to finally start defending it a little bit more, making it more relevant.
On par with the WWE Championship.
And Seth will defend it all the damn time.
So I also think they want Seth to be the best little guy, the best of their small guys.
Yes.
I think that, and people might call me a conspiracy theorist here, but I do believe that they look at AEW as potential competition nipping at their heels. And I think that if the show were to end with Vince screwing Kofi and he doesn't win the title,
Brock
retaining and Ronda walking out,
Or Charlotte winning it,
there's a part of the fan base who goes, you know what? Screw you. These guys claim that they're going to do they're actually going to do what we want. I'm going to go to them, and I don't think they want that happening. I think they want to send out the message that, oh, you want the young, cool, hip people who are champions? Well, Seth Rollins,
right.
Becky Lynch, right. Kofi Kingston. Mm. Like, these are the people you've wanted. And you can even do, like, that kind of like that famous picture where they had, like, Punk and Daniel Bryan and Zack Ryder and Cody and Beth Phoenix all standing there holding the titles. You can do another one of those that gets out or whatever, and this time Kofi's again in the picture, but now he's the veteran in the picture. And it's like, I see it putting out a good message that we got a black guy's champion. We've got this Irish woman who's champion. I think it's
double champion.
Double champion. Yeah. And, you know, we've got the workhorse. It's no longer Brock Lesnar. I think it sends out a message that of change, which they claimed they were about.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I'm kind of leaning more towards Seth, even though I have felt this whole time that Brock, I don't know, something in me had changed in the past like day where I was like driving and thinking about it.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, I feel like they're going to do it.
I think Brock.
Yeah. I think Brock because of the Taker thing. How many times do we think Taker was going to lose at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
It's going to be this time. It's going to be this time. And you talk about, oh, yeah, the new faces, but you still got to sell. And how are you going to sell? You have someone like Lesnar who brings eyes, brings attention from the MMA world, UFC world, I mean, sorry, MMA world, wrestling world, and the mainstream. Lesnar is your guy. Rollins is great for in the wrestling world. But overall, if you're going to jump to do this thing with Fox, you kind of want to have attention for everybody, and you want to have someone who's going to kind of be, if they're going to be moving the brands around, then or wrestlers moving to multiple brands, and I think this is the way to go with Lesnar. And everyone thinks Rollins is going to win. Everyone. And all the logic you guys have said about, oh, everyone thinks this, Vince, this is where he could do the most, the greatest swerve that makes sense and wouldn't 100% piss off the fans. I think this would work.
Well, the thing that Brock did, that you're right, I mean, we said it before, that he brought prestige to the title because it's just like no one can take it off of him, right? But the thing is that I get scared with is something you just said, Ryan, and that's that if you do have Brock retain, then what's next for him? It's Roman again.
Yeah, it's Roman again.
Now you're putting Roman in a bad place because you're putting Roman. Oh no, these two again. Right. This is where we're going. This is all we have. But if you put, if Seth gets the title,
right,
then it opens up all these possibilities. Now everyone, especially with the shakeup coming
sure.
There's so many people now that could who he could fight for and go into really great programs with and consistently be fighting for the championship, right? Yeah. And then we get to the Roman one eventually with him, and you let Roman build up because if Brock wins. And then or Braun again, and we've seen it enough because you can still use Lesnar. He's still under contract. You bring him to Fox and have him some big matches. Then you can have that Brock and Braun match it's not for the title. So I think Seth takes this thing, and I think that it is because of the change moments and because it is time for them to start looking in a new direction.
Okay,
you know, I didn't think about that, but that would be the smartest move. Is you have Seth win, and Brock just goes away. And he returns for the Fox move.
Yeah.
And we haven't had Brock on SmackDown, right? Since he came back, he's always
been on Raw. Yeah.
I don't think he's been on SmackDown in like forever. Maybe I'm tripping, but I don't recall him being on SmackDown. If he moved to SmackDown when the deal happened, that'd be a big deal.
Yeah.
And they need a big name to kind of be there once in a while on SmackDown, at least
talk about. That's right.
I'm going Rollins. All right, last, the main event. For the first time, the women are main event in the show. We talked about it at the top. We're ending on it now. Winner takes all, triple threat match for the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. Becky Lynch versus Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey versus SmackDown Women's Champion Charlotte Flair. You start this one. What do you think?
All right, I'm going to do one of your things, what I want to see and what I think will happen. Strangely enough, I've said this on live. I was never, before this whole thing happened with Becky Lynch where she rose to superstardom, always thought she was okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost even thought she was a little goofy at times, right? And then I fell in love with her. I think that she's the best thing to happen to wrestling in a very long time. She gets the audience going. She's great on social media. She has just really elevated this. It's because of her that we're in this position that we're in. She's great. That being said, I don't want her to win. I want Ronda Rousey to win.
Hot take coming in from Christian Harlow.
I want Ronda Rousey to win both belts because I think that her winning will do everything that we're talking about. The place would lose their minds with booze. Go crazy with Ronda holding both belts up. Like I said, I was the baddest woman on the planet, bitches, and I am with both belts. Imagine that image with Ronda with both belts with this scowl on her face. That being said, Becky wins. Becky, they're going to have Becky win because they're not going to have that moment. They're going to have Becky have both championships, and she'll hold them for a little bit. I think the reports of Ronda actually leaving are true. Mm-hmm. I know that some people think that it's maybe a swerve and that she's not really leaving. But I think she'll be leaving to take a break for a bit. And this will be the first time. I don't think she'll be pinned, though. I think Charlotte will be pinned and lose both belts.
I think that, and then we'll go, I want to hear Roka.
Sure.
But I think, I it's funny, the going away thing. You know, she apparently, from what I've heard, she told a bunch of people on the roster she's leaving right after Mania.
Yeah.
She says she's leaving. But, like, I just think that, like, I know she's got, you know, Paul Heyman influence. And Paul Heyman loves to kind of, like, get, you know, people talking.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't surprise me to be like, hey, if you said it to everyone, everyone's going to think you're leaving and no one's going to be able to see what's going to happen in the main event. That's what you want as a wrestler. Even if you got to work the boys. It's not like no one's ever worked the boys and girls before in the locker room.
Right.
Not like one of the wrestlers themselves has ever worked the locker room. So that being said, I agree. We both on the Raw recap, we also agreed that the dual champion aspect of things does lend itself to Ronda Rousey winning this match and doing the I told you so situation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the baddest bitch on the planet.
Yeah.
Here's the proof. You know, screw you guys.
Right.
That being said, as much as that would make sense at this point, I've been thinking about it ever since we talked. And I'm wondering, like, you know, if there had been multiple women's main events in the past, I think 100% that's what would happen.
Yeah.
But because this is the first historic women's main event, there's going to be all these young girls watching, like you said, like I said, you know, like we were talking about. For that reason, I don't think you want to end on a boo, as you asked me on the recap show.
Yeah, you're right.
I do think you need to end the show with a very happy moment for a woman who has worked very hard to get there.
Fans loving
her. Fans love her. You need to have this, like, very feel-good moment, you know? Like, I just think that the boo would be a bad look that the first women's main event, even if it's Ronda Rousey, who is a massive star that everyone knows. I also think that because Ronda Rousey is a massive star that everybody knows, and because, you know, like, Charlotte Flair is also a massive star, maybe not everybody knows, but everybody knows Ric Flair. And most of it's very easy to go, like, well, that's Ric Flair's daughter.
Right.
Hence the ESPN thing that said Ric Flair's daughter or whatever. But
don't you know who I am?
But because of that, I feel like, you know, and it harkens back to what Becky said on Raw this week in her promo before walking to the ring. She said, like, those two don't have to make history. Like, I have to make history in order to cement my place in wrestling lore. And I agree that, like, you have a chance to make Becky. This is the thing that's going to make Becky a star. If you don't make her a star right here, and she's already a star, I shouldn't say that, but, like, if you don't use this to cement this is mega star. Yeah, this is if you don't use that to cement Becky Lynch as this is a huge moment, it's a wasted opportunity, in my opinion.
Yeah, but we've seen Vince be stubborn. And when Vince makes up his mind about something, that's what happens, no matter whether the fans like it or not. We've seen this many times with the history with Vince. And so for me, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I believe, yes, what do I want to have happen? Becky winning. However, I have a terrible feeling over this last day as I thought about this late at night, early in the morning in the shower, that Charlotte Flair is going to win thing. Because the shoehorn Charlotte stuff, the fact that they've put out these videos where she's talking about how main eventing WrestleMania is as far back as seven years ago.
No one sees it coming.
Everyone thinks she's an afterthought. The fact that they've made this, that they didn't announce whether it was going to be an elimination match. There's going to be all three of them in there the whole time. Wouldn't that shock the world if Charlotte ends up winning this thing? And fans have been, there's a lot of fans who've come out of the woodwork, go to Charlotte's Twitter feed, who support her being involved in this now. They wouldn't lose as much if they gave Charlotte the rub instead of Ronda and had her holding both the belts. You could still technically have the four horsewomen moment at the end with Charlotte, but all of a sudden in my mind, for some reason, it's come to me like, she's taken all these losses to Becky. She has put Becky over for 6 months. Here's a thank you for doing that. And from the beginning, way back at SummerSlam, my plan was to have you face Ronda and possibly beat Ronda and for the belt. Charlotte, wouldn't that be insane?
Yeah, but it's just the fact that this is a unified championship that Becky right now is again.
We're only going to unify him, but you're dual champion.
Dual champion.
Well, unified for the night. You know, you still have both championships.
Yeah.
So to have her do that, and I think that it's exactly right, because Ronda Rousey, whether she's here for this is her last one for a while, or she's here for another year, she's Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, she's
her brand is Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. She made in UFC. She's done very well wrestling, but then she takes off, and that's it. These two women have their lives are
their
wrestling.
They're lifers.
They've. Becky more so, because Becky had to, and nothing, Charlotte Flair is an amazing performer in the ring, but she got to step up.
Right.
And this is nothing, doesn't take it away from her. That's just, she was born into the family. But Becky Lynch had to earn it. That's the story. And she had, not earn it, but had to really fight and to do it. So for Becky to do this, that's why I think she's going to win. Mm. I think she's going to win at the end because of what you said. The little girl's watching that feel good moment. And then because it does cement her now as like this ultimate superstar. Yeah. Ronda takes off for a while. You pay her a ton of money down the line to have her come back and do another one. And then you can start out. Now, then it starts to be like, well, where does the champion, where does the dual champion go?
Yeah.
Where does Becky Lynch, does she go to Raw? You got to put her on Raw. Mm-hmm. You got to put her on Raw.
Oh, she has to go to Raw. Right. And especially if Ronda's leaving.
That's right.
She has to be the one that supplements that.
And then you can. But there's a lot you can
Charlotte's
do.
Charlotte's never been on Raw.
That's the thing that I'm
right?
getting
Has
at.
She not been? And, well, I mean, since they've had the brand split, wasn't she right? One of the people that moved to SmackDown, she hasn't been there. Yeah. But now there's Becky. But.
And if you're going to go to Fox, you're going to do all these kinds of things. The legacy, the daughter of Ric Flair carrying both belts is you go into the situation. I'm just saying it's a possibility. I want Becky to win with everything.
No, every I ounce see your point.
Yeah.
But there's certainly an argument to be made for Charlotte because it would piss fans off. It would get everybody talking. But she is legacy.
You know what's funny about this conversation we're having? Is this conversation we're having right now is proof of why this match deserved to be the main event.
Sure.
Because we've gone through all of these matches, and for the most part, we've kind of all agreed on certain aspects of things. Mm. And we still all want Becky to win here, but I like that we all have a case for each person that can be made
easily.
As to why they could win, and it makes sense, and it's not bad.
Yep.
Yeah, easily.
All right. Well, I'm getting the wrap signal here because I went way longer than I said I was going to go, and I apologize for that, but we got caught up in the conversation. There's also 15 matches.
It's a nine-hour wrestling.
I do my best, but just funny because that was like, well, we need to get in there by 3:30, and I was like, oh, we did way before 3:30, and it's 3:15 right now. So, all right, guys, go follow John Rocha. He's at The Rocha Says on social media. You are at Christian Harloff on social media, right?
Just check out The Schmodown, at The Schmodown.
Absolutely check out Schmodown, guys. If you like movie trivia, if you like wrestling, you're going to love the movie Trivia Schmodown. I listen to it all the time while I'm driving, and I get so mad that I can't get the answers to some of those questions. It frustrates the hell out of me, but I guarantee you'll enjoy it. It's literally like pro wrestling meets trivia. It's a great time to listen. If you don't watch on YouTube, you can listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
That's what I do, to be honest. I listen to the podcast. I don't watch on YouTube, and they're great. I also love that you guys kind of like shortened them a little bit.
On the podcast feed, yeah.
Yeah, that you guys took away kind of like the
video. They're audio friendly.
They're much more audio friendly now. So if you're like me who got frustrated with like having to like listen
to scenes,
yeah. You're going to like it. It's much better now on the podcast feed. So go check that out. Also, check out Wrestling Sheet on social media, at Wrestling Sheet, ProWrestlingSheet.com. That's where you can check out our weekly stories, all the top things going on in the world of wrestling. It's ProWrestlingSheet.com. And then you check out the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. That's where the videos are. While you're there, please subscribe. Please comment. Please like the videos. Please share them if you're interested in these videos. It helps keep the lights on. It's very appreciated by me. Okay, that's it. We're done. Officially tapping out for now. Until next time, stay out of the dirt and keep your eye on the sheet.
ProWrestlingSheet.com.
This episode is sponsored by Schwann's.com. What are you having for dinner tonight? Good question. Schwann's Home Delivery has a solution for you. Stock up your freezer with high-quality frozen foods like premium meats and sides, delicious ready-made meals, ice cream, and more. No subscriptions, no memberships, just a friendly yellow truck that's been delivering food for almost 70 years. Listeners of this show get a special deal. Get 20% off your first order with code YUM20. Check out schwanz.com/yum for details.
People notice a healthy smile, but maybe you have tooth sensitivity, bleeding gums, or acid-weakened enamel. Sensodyne, Parodontax, and Pronamel are trusted specialty toothpastes created to help improve your oral health.
For tooth sensitivity, choose Sensodyne. Bleeding gums, get Parodontax. For acid-weakened enamel, Pronamel is the toothpaste for you. Sensodyne, Parodontax, and Pronamel. Trusted specialty toothpaste to help bring home your healthy smile. Visit Ibotta to earn cash back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awakes. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.